cut yourself, and automatically your body goes into healing mode instantly, and your blood starts to clot, and all these things start, and everything gets sent to that. It is just, it blows my mind. All believers with special gifts, those with quieter gifts, are placed right where God wants them so that they would serve effectively together. That's us. Every one of us. I talked with Eugene a little bit on Sunday, and I thanked him for all that he does that nobody ever sees. Of course, except for the ladies that he goes out with an umbrella when it's raining and helps them to the door or gets them out of the car and those kinds of things. They understand right off the bat how important his gifting is. But most people don't see that stuff. How about Marion that comes in here on Saturdays and sweeps and cleans? I came in here Saturday myself and I caught Glenda and her mom out here putting flowers in. Nobody would have known that. I wouldn't have known that. But I caught them. Those are what are referred to in the Bible, what I'm talking about here, as lesser gifts. They're not up front. They're not singing. Once in a while, we can con Glenda into coming up and doing the announcements and stuff, and it scares her to death, and I love to watch it because it's so fun. Hallelujah. I'm always grateful when Tammy says, hey, Glenda's going to do the announcements. Yeah. See, and that's just all part of it. According to 1 Corinthians, see, and 1 Peter, every one of us are necessary. And it is scary. It is scary to how spiritual are the announcements? Not all that spiritual, but the fact that you're being used by God in a Christian service, those kinds of things create fear. And it is kind of scary. But the reality is, it's necessary. Listen, to stand in this pulpit and preach God's Word, to stand behind this pulpit and teach God's Word, it is scary. To deal with the young people, that is scary. To sit behind that counter back there and run the sound and to try and keep up with me on the video or to make sure that it's flawless going out over the internet or to make sure that the right scriptures are up or what. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's going on that we don't even take into consideration oftentimes. We just take it for granted. And so every part where every one of us are necessary because God composed the body and it is His body. It is His body. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Listen, here, this is a goofy analogy. I took a shower tonight. Hey, hey. I did not just wash my head. Amen. And I didn't just wash my hands because they were the dirtiest. I washed everything. The whole thing. You know why? It's all important. All of me being cleanly. All of me being clean tonight is important. Because you don't want to smell me when I stinketh. Amen? I'm just trying to be practical here. I'm just showing you that there's not, even though my hands looked dirtier, my feet were pretty dirty. My face gets pretty dirty dealing with black logs all the time. You see what I'm saying? No one part deserves to be washed more than the other. That's all I'm trying to say. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every person has received one or more spiritual gifts from God. Raise your hand tonight if you have not received a spiritual gift from God. That was a trick question. You did good. You did good. So if you recognize that you have a spiritual gift from God, here's a loaded question. Are you using it for His glory? See, a spiritual gift is a talent or an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit and able to be used in the ministry of the church. Spiritual gifts help God's people to serve and to love one another and to continue the work of spreading the gospel. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 12. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So when believers, you and I, humbly recognize our partnership in the body of Christ, their gifts, our gifts, can be used effectively. Only when we appreciate one another's gifts is when we're working together. When it comes time to eat, we really appreciate those with the gift of hospitality. Amen? When it comes time to build a building, we really appreciate those like Bob and Tommy and Glenn and those that really know how to build. I might know how to preach pretty good, but don't ask me to start the building project out there because it's going to be messed up. You know why? Because that is not my gifting. I'm not gifted at that kind of stuff. Now they can explain to me what to do and tell me how to do it and I'll do it. Especially when it comes to just packing something from here to there. I got that. I can build a wall if they lay it out and tell me exactly how to do it. I can't go read the blueprints and say, oh, I got this. Because I don't. Because that's not my gifting. Amen? So maybe those people are not, don't have the gift of preaching God's Word. Right? But I can give them some scripture and tell them, you know, and get them lined out. And have them pray and here's a commentary or two, figure this stuff out, and they can preach, but it's not their gifting. Am I making any sense? So you can see that things can overlap. Just because it's not your gifting doesn't mean you can't do something. So don't sit back and say, well, that's not my gifting, I'm not doing it. Because if you can help with something, God says we ought to help one another. We can learn. So the gifts are not meant for self-aggrandizement. Instead, every believer has received at least one gift from God in order to, pardon me? To serve others. That's a very lost art, if I can say, in our society today. We don't want to serve anybody. We want to be served. Amen? And we get a little short-tempered sometimes when we're waiting for someone to serve us. Hey. When believers use their gift in humble service to others, we are actually faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If you ever wanted to be like Jesus, you're the most like Jesus, I would imagine, when you're serving someone else. You serve the Lord when you're serving someone else. Because we understand through the Scripture that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And the disciples had trouble with that. The disciples struggled with that. Peter's like, dude, you ain't washing my feet. Not going to happen. Well, if I don't wash your feet, you got no part with me. Well, Peter had a change of heart. Wash all of me. See, the gifts that God gives believers are varied and they're many faceted, as are the believers themselves. Every one of us are different. We look different. We talk different. We walk different. How many of you can pick somebody out of a crowd just by the way they walk? Amen? Because we're all unique. We all have characteristics. So as God's grace varies in the dealings with His people, so His gifts, given because of His grace, don't forget that, are varied in their administration of His grace as Christ's body on earth. So to be faithful then means to not hide the gifts. Hello. To be faithful means to not hide the gifts, but in fact to use them as they were meant to be used, serving and building up the body of Christ. Everything that we do should point somebody to Jesus. In all of our ministry giftings, it all ought to point people to Jesus. Our abilities should be faithfully used in serving others. None are for our own exclusive enjoyment. Going back to Eugene, he has began to blossom in this area of woodworking. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I've noticed it. And he is infatuated with making crosses. And he's made some beautiful crosses. I mean, they're beautiful. But the thing about it is I don't think you could go to his house and see a wall dedicated to all the beautiful crosses that he's made. Which would be making them and using them for his exclusive enjoyment. But the reality is, he passes them out. And this one's mine. For my enjoyment. Hey. Well, good. Good for you. And that's fine. That's fine. And, I mean, but you see what I'm... It's an ability, it's a gifting. The world, the enemy would tell him, especially because of the stroke that he's had, that has left him handicapped in some ways, but God's still using the giftings that he's got. He said, hey, I'll show the world. Some people, well aware of their abilities, believe that they have the right to use their ability as they please. Not so. Not so. Others feel they have no special talent at all. Not so. That is not so. The Scripture is clear that God has given to every one of us some kind of a gifting. Peter addresses both groups in these verses, and because every believer has been given a way to minister, we need to find out our way to serve and then serve. And if you don't know what your gift is, if you see something that needs to be done, do it. Amen? Whatever that may be. So because every believer has been given a way to minister, we need to find our own way to serve and then do it. Most importantly, when we see a need in the church, we should meet it the best way we can. I can't tell you how many times somebody has come to me and said, Pastor, I would like for you to lead my child to the Lord. To which I say, you lead them to the Lord. That's your job. You do it. There's no greater blessing in the world than to be able to lead your kid in prayer to receive Jesus. There's nothing better than that. I ain't gonna rob you from that. That's why so many times when I'm baptizing younger kids or husbands and wives, I'll have the husband help me to be a part of it because there it makes a bond there. Listen, if it's possible to serve by way of our gift, that is great. But if there remains a need, even though it may not be perfectly matched to our giftings, we should still help. We should still help. I didn't know what my giftings were. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I had no idea. I had no idea. But I could drive. Wow. Well, yeah. They asked me to help drive the church bus, to which I was very cautious. And I drove the church bus. And I picked up kids all over this town. Didn't I, Steve? Yeah. Two of the craziest people in this place. And here we are driving a church bus. I'd never taught Sunday school at all. They said, hey, we need somebody to substitute teach the youth group for Sunday school. Want you to do it and one other guy. So we did. They killed us. They tore us up. I said, I'll never work with young people again. Period. So for 7 years, I was a youth pastor. God has a sense of humor. I had no idea I was going to be a youth pastor for 7 years when I said I'd never teach youth people again, young people again. I didn't know I was going to drive a church bus for years and years and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to feed those kids, which was probably some of them the best meal that they had all week. I had no idea. I had no idea I was going to be a pastor someday. Had no idea. God tricked me into doing it. I believe that with all my heart. Because if he'd have said, listen, I want you to go to St. George, Utah and pioneer a church, I'd have said, bad pizza. Bad pizza. Because I would have said, I've never done that. I don't know the first thing about it. I don't know anything about it. All I know is we went down there to be a part of another church. And that church went south. And so we started having Bible study in somebody's house. And I got appointed to be the Bible study preacher that became the pastor of that group that began to grow exponentially. And I became the one that was looking for property and buildings, me and Mike Young. And the next thing you know, I'm the pastor of the church. If God had said, I want you to quit your job, move to Utah, and pioneer a church in the very first town that Joseph Smith ever built a temple, you go there and build a church. Not gonna happen. But just by taking one step at a time, being obedient to what I could do, what all I'm doing is trying to be a blessing. I just want to help. I can drive the bus. That's all I want to do. And it started right there. And you're a part of what it's become tonight. Crazy. It's crazy. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you have no special talents at all, because you do. So, we ought to never withhold our ability to minister. So who then is the head of the body? Pardon me? Too many people. What in the world? The turkeys are coming to church. That's good preaching when you can get the turkeys to come. So who's the head of the body? Jesus. How do you know that? Where? You stay out of it. She's got my notes. She's like, I know where. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And it says this very matter-of-factly. So it's really, it's more than a statement. It's a declaration. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things may have preeminence. So the church, again, remember, we're talking about the body of believers. We make, this building is not the church. You and I make up the church. So the church existed because Christ was its beginning, its source, its head. So just as the parts of the body function under the direction of the brain, which is where? In your head. So just as the parts of the body function under the direction of the brain, so Christians are to work together under the command and the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the head. You guys are getting it. The church is composed of many types of people from a variety of different backgrounds with a multitude of gifts and abilities. And despite the differences, all believers have one unifying principle. What is that? It is faith in Christ. On this essential truth, all believers find agreement. So all believers are baptized by one Holy Spirit into one body, which makes up the church. And every person does not lose his or her individual identity, but all have oneness in Christ, the head of the body. Do you know that when you get to heaven, you're going to get a glorified body? It's going to work. Everything's going to work. Nothing's going to hurt. Isn't that awesome? We're probably going to get hair. I don't know. Bear in mind, God don't put marble tops on cheap furniture. Hallelujah. Do you also know that you'll be known in heaven as you were on earth? Now, I don't know when I get my glorified body if it's going to look like it does now. I mean, as far as my age, when I die, or when I was raptured or whatever, or whether it's going to revert back to when I was like a 106-pounder in high school. I don't know. It just says that I'll be known as I was. But it'll be a perfected body. It will be a glorified body. It will be a body that is designed and equipped to handle heaven. There's not going to be any... How do I know this? I know it primarily because of God's Word. What's that? And what were some... How did the disciples recognize Him? Pardon me? Some of them did have a little bit of problem. But what eventually became the identifying marks of Jesus? He still had the holes in His hands. He still had, he told Thomas, hey, come here, Thomas. Thomas like, no, not going to do it. So we're going to get a glorified body. It's going to be great. But every person, you don't lose your individual identity. I think when I'm walking down the streets of heaven and I see Rick, I'm going to know that that's Rick. I'm going to get him. So I think that's important for us to understand. And let me break it to you, ladies and gentlemen. You ain't going to be married up there. No. We're going to be brothers and sisters. Amen? It's going to be great. The Holy Spirit gives every believer certain gifts and abilities. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, according to verse 4 and 6, does everybody have the same gift? No, they are diversities. Look at what it says. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Isn't that amazing? See, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of service in the church, different ways that God works in our lives. Listen, let's just break it down. It is important to have a pastor. I'm not saying I'm important as the pastor. I'm just saying it's important to have a pastor. Why? Because the pastor is the head of the local church. I do my best with the help of those that I have surrounded myself with that are way smarter than I am. And so through that group of men and ladies, we can direct and guide the church. And that's important. It's also important the job that Marion does. Because I promise you on Sunday morning, you can go into any of our bathrooms and find a clean bathroom. Nothing turns a person off any more than to go into a bathroom and it ain't not clean. So tell me, how important is what Marion does? We can get by with some dust bunnies on the floor. Some spider webs hanging from the ceiling. You go in a dirty bathroom, it's over. It's over. Waste baskets. Do you know that people go and look in waste baskets? And if they're not clean, it ranks right up there with the bathroom. And so it's important that those things, you know, it's only got that much trash in it and it's this deep. It don't make any difference. Throw the sucker out. If we can't afford a garbage bag, we're in trouble. These things happen. It's important. You know, Kathy, I'm going to put you on the spot. How long did you come here before Fred? 4 months. Fred. 4 months you laid at home while she came to church. And when we needed to do things differently, God put, I believe, completely with all of my heart, in your heart, that you need to come to church with your wife. Amen. You listened to the voice of the Lord and you came. You saw some things that we had that were needs. You knew that God had gifted you with certain types of abilities. We didn't know when y'all started coming to this church that we were going to have to start going live. And the only way we could get church across to the world and to our family was through a projector, which we had no idea in the world how to even make it happen. But you did. For such a time as this. And God brought that at just the time that we needed it. Don't tell me that God doesn't know what He's doing. And so I didn't say that in any way to bring any kind of condemnation on Fred or anything. I'm just saying God had it figured out. I would have never, probably never, in my own mind never, went on the internet with our services. I've been asked for years to go online. I've never wanted to. Still not real crazy about it. Do you realize that through that little camera, we're literally going around the world? People in Africa are watching us. That's crazy to me. People in England are watching us. People in it just is beyond me. Why? Because one man listened to the voice of the Lord. You're seated here tonight wondering, what is it? And I don't know what it is. It's between you and God. But God has wired you. There are people that are coming right now. They ain't even here yet. But when they get here, it's going to be right at the right time to fulfill what God needs to have done to cause this church to grow and to be more. Listen, God is not done. We can build a building. We can have the thing done by tomorrow morning. And the church would still not be done. It would still not be as effective as it will be when those others that are coming that might not even know they're coming yet get here. It's amazing. Different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of service in the church, different ways that God works in our lives. God's people receive many different kinds of gifts, and no one gift is better than the other. This may also have been the problem in Corinth. Some believers may have been belittling some of the gifts. Well, your gift isn't in there as good as mine. I mean, I have the gift of prophecy. Hey. And your little gift of hospitality, that don't even come close to my gift. Well, how about if you want a meal? All of a sudden, well, why don't you just prophesy you want? That's why I have a hard time with these psychics on the TV. I mean, they're going out of business right and left. You'd have thought that they'd have seen that coming. Just saying. She got it. Wow. I love this body. I swear I love this body. Do you see my point, though? Being able to prophesy is no better than being able to clean a toilet. They're both valuable. In Corinthians, it explains that all the gifts come from one source and are to be used for one purpose. All of our giftings come from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit from God, however you want to say it. And they're all used to be used for one thing. Not to glorify this preacher, not to glorify this church, not to say, hey, look at us, we're so good. No, it's to glorify God. And everything that this church does, if today or 10 years from now, needs to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, period. The one source is the Trinity. It's God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The one purpose is to build up the body of Christ. Can I just tell you something? In general, I'm a pretty healthy guy. As a whole, I'm a pretty healthy guy. But there's one part in my body right now that's giving me problems. Right? What is it? It's my eye. So do you think I'm giving special attention to my eye? Absolutely. Why? It's not that my hand isn't more important than my eye. It's not that my knee might be more important than my eye. It's that my eye has a little problem right now. And for the rest of all the rest of me to work correctly, I've got to get this eye working right. I don't know what it is. That's what I've been doing. That's exactly what I've been doing. So, it's to build up the body of Christ. And this happens as the gifts are used to their fullest potential. And as people serve the Lord and one another, and as God works through His people. So the gifts are just that. They are gifts. They're gifts. If someone gives you a gift and you take that gift home and you just put it on a shelf somewhere, you might not even unwrap it out of the package. But you've got a gift. What good is that gift to you? It's of no value to you because you haven't given it any time. You haven't given it any attention. It's the same way with our salvation. It is a free gift of God. And if you don't do anything with the gift of salvation, you're in trouble. You have to wonder, how saved really am I? The gifts are just that. They're gifts. They are not earned. I'll be getting out of bed at about 1:45 in the morning to go to work, to earn a living, to make money, to pay the bills, those kinds of things, to buy groceries. I will work for that paycheck. You can't do one thing for your salvation except accept it. Why? Because it's the free gift of God. I can't go out to the shop at Brownson's and say, listen, give me a paycheck. Well, what'd you do? Nothing. Give me a paycheck. They ain't going to give me a paycheck. And it's foolish for you to even think that they would. But yet Jesus says, here's the free gift of salvation. If you'll just receive it, if you'll just take it, make it yours. So they're not earned. Listen, they're not given to believers asking for a specific one. You don't go to God and say, hey, I want this gift. I want that gift. I want the other gift. My wife says that my most prominent gift is encouragement. And I would have to probably agree because I do find myself encouraging about anybody I can. You can do it. You can make it. You got this. And it means a lot. Our coaches, when we wrestled in school, our coaches were encouragers. They encouraged us. I remember Coach Schertz and Coach Manley and Coach Owens saying, look, I wasn't good about at anything. But because those guys encouraged me, I felt like I had hope. I was part of a team. I helped make a difference on that team because of encouragement. So we can't ask for a specific one. They're not chosen. It's God alone that administers the gifts to His people. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because He wired you. Remember how we started this? God placed you into His body at His own desire. And when He did, He knew what He had wired you for. God is completely involved in the giving and the using and the empowering of the gifts. Specific gifts, places of service, activities vary, but they all have their best effect when they build up the body of Christ, which is the church. God creates a unique place in the body for believers, and gifts and ministries may in fact overlap, but every believer has a specialized God-designed role. Think about that just for a moment. God has wired you specifically with a unique, a very, very unique gift that He wants to, it's been specialized. Specialized. Isn't that amazing? It's a God-designed role. So the exciting adventure of following Christ literally involves discovering your service contribution and then making it available to God. God, how could you use me? What would you have me do? He's asking you to spend some time with Him and find out the answer to that question. He wants to use you. There's nobody that doesn't have at least one spiritual gift. Nobody. He said He gave them to everybody. So you know what I think? I think even the unsaved have spiritual gifts. They're just not functioning in them. They don't even realize it. Some people are, but don't realize that it's a gift from God. I believe that. I believe that. I'm stopping right there. Okay? Listen. If you would learn what your God-given gifting is and begin to walk in that, you'll begin to experience satisfaction that you never dreamed possible. Burdens that are weighing you down will begin to just leave because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, exactly how God wired you to live and to breathe and to move and to act. Amen? I can't tell you what your spiritual gift is. That's between you and God. But I promise you this much, He will reveal it to you. And it might be very subtly. It might be very subtly. It might be, here's your sign. But He's big enough to get His message to you. Amen? Father, I love You tonight. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You so much for Your word and for the reality that You really have given each one of us an individual gifting. You've wired us for something that You want us to do for this time that we live in right here, right now, today. And God, there people that are going to come to this body that you are going to use each one of us to minister to at some degree that they would come to realize that they are a part of a much bigger body for a much bigger purpose than they had ever dreamed. Maybe they've been told their whole life, you ain't nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. I can't tell you how many people have told me all my life, they hear is you'll never amount to nothing. God said, not true. Not true. Because you're His special creation. You're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's God's word for you. So Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for Your word again. Thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for each one watching tonight by way of the internet. I pray Your richest blessings overtake each one. And I thank You for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you and good night.